T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I don't think he's going to get the OPI, offensive pass interference, but this, they marked that ball at the 40.
Yeah, they marked it 1 yard past that.
At the 40.
After it, and
okay.
New England, a timeout.
I think the original spot was very generous, but when you get first down and involved in first downs, it really has to be significant for them to change. I think it's very close, but I don't know if they could have had enough to overturn. But the 40, definitely, I agree with you on the 40.
All right, that's Gene Steratore, your buddy, Lou, giving the breakdown on the whole thing.
Yo, how you doing?
So a lot of people have been commenting today and saying that if Bill did not blow the challenge there, he would have had it for the N'Keal Harry. And you got to go back to the moment. I really believe it was a third and fourth situation. Patriots had just scored, and they missed the two-point conversion, if you remember.
Yeah.
Right? So it's 23-13. It's a 10-point game. And Kansas City gets the ball at their 29. It's a third and fourth now. They complete the pass to Watkins, and now you have the challenge, whether it was pass interference or the spotting of the ball. At that point, that game, that momentum was starting to shift a little bit in Kansas City's favor again. I think he had to do it at that point. I really do. And it was late in the third quarter. I think you had
to do it at that point.
See,
but I don't think Bill is this reckless.
He isn't.
You know, hey, let me replay, throwing the red flag all over the place. You looked at it multiple times, and it flat out looked like he did not get the first down.
So here was the problem, though, because we had one, two, three, four, five plays later, Kansas City still controlling the football now because, you know, they got the first down, and that's when you had the fumble. So now Bill had to go out there and challenge it because they didn't rule it a fumble. So he had to give up two of the challenges right away on that one series by Kansas City.
Well, and the rule is if you get them both right, then you get a third. But since he got screwed on the first one, he didn't have the opportunity to get a third.
So it doesn't qualify.
So you have to get them both right.
Is that that first one, until I heard him talk about it again here this morning, his conference call, because they did misspot the ball.
They did.
I mean, they put it at the 40. It should have been at the 39,
correct,
whether it was a first down or not. So you thought, okay, well, he should have won his challenge, right? Because they should have seen that the ball should have been spotted at the 39 instead of the 40. It should have been a win. But as Bill explained today, no, the only way he would have technically won that challenge is if they spotted the ball before the first down marker.
So,
correct.
To me,
I read the rule book last night.
So it wasn't
we had callers calling in.
Right.
We had callers calling in saying, Bill did win it because they get the spot wrong. No, the rule book specifically says it's got to be a change of
down. And the offensive PI, I think Kelsey, that was too close to call. He went about a yard, maybe a yard and a half, and stuck his butt out. I think he stuck his ass out a little bit. But it was within
that
yard,
I'm not sure they were going to overturn that. I don't think he would.
Well, he was trying to double dip anyways because he was able to look at both of them because he was already doing the other one. This, to me, goes back to the whole rule, everything is reviewable. Everything is reviewable. Yeah. Why would you allow yourself or a team to lose a game like that just because, you know, technically – they used one up too much, right? They didn't have enough.
Yeah, but in this case,
you should be able to call down and say,
I agree,
we screwed up. He was flat out. It wasn't even, it was so obvious. And the ref was standing right there.
Yeah, but they don't have
pointing.
They don't even have to do that. It's simple. The referees blew both of those calls, the fumble by Kelsey and then the Harry touchdown. And he shouldn't have had to have a use of a challenge. And I'll tell you why. Because the rule book, and they changed this rule a few years ago in a game, I believe, between Denver and San Diego, that you're supposed to not blow the whistle when the ball pops out like that because you don't know.
You don't have any
clue.
It's
so fast. You have no idea whether it's a fumble or whether his knee came down and he was down. So what you do is you don't do it when the ball is loose. Somebody picks it up and they're running with it. You don't blow the whistle.
Let it play out.
And by the way, when you go back and watch it and say, because clearly Was it McCourty that punched that ball? That ball was punched out.
That was one of the best forced fumbles
Excellent.
I've ever seen.
How did an official
like he was
blow
tackling
a whistle
with one
on
hand,
that?
And he was like horizontal to the ground.
Yeah, going on his way down.
On his way down. And while all that's going on, took his other hand and knocked it
yeah,
free.
Yeah,
so you could look at it and say, wait a minute, they do it sometimes for the safety of the player. Safety was not in jeopardy. Was not in jeopardy in this case. The ball was punched out. He was not down on the ground yet, and the whistle had already blown. They're not supposed to do that. They're going to get chastised by the NFL because that is a specific emphasis.
And the other one as well. I mean, you call that a touchdown, and then you just there's
that's
your
what you do.
There's
that's
your
what
bailout.
You do. They
now,
do.
We review it. Clearly stepped out. Whatever. Here we go.
So here,
back to where we
but
were.
They usually do that.
But
Lou.
He didn't step out.
They usually call it a touchdown because they have the video replay to be able to bail their ass out.
All right. So Mike Reese was able to go into one of those. He's one of those pool reporters, so he's able to go into the little refereeing room and ask for an explanation. The question is, what led to that not being called a touchdown? So who's the lead ref? Booger. We should call him Booger. What led to
Jerome
it?
Booger.
I know, we should call him Booger, though. What led to it was the covering official on the wing was blocked out by the defenders. The downfield official, who was on the goal line and looking back toward the field to play,
right at him,
had that he stepped out. So there was a ref there, but when he looked it looked like he stepped out at the 3-yard line.
Awful.
He's pointing to it. So they got together and conferred on that. The final ruling was that he was out of bounds at the 3-yard line. Nice follow-up by Reese. He says, okay, when the officials confer like that, you ultimately come in as the lead official. Is there any thought to err on the side of a touchdown knowing you would have the benefit of review in that event? Like, yeah, common sense. Hey, we've been screwing up all day, guys. Let's just call it a touchdown and make sure we get out of here with our hat in our hands. He says, not really. Those two officials who are covering it, they look at it in real time. This case was unique in that the guy who would have ruled touchdown had him short. So maybe if the ruling official on the goal line had a touchdown, we could have gotten into that. But he thought that the guy stepped out of bounds. The goal line wasn't in
it's
play.
Ridiculous.
Again, the officials,
like,
officials
blew
it.
That's a lot.
Just
stupid.
Take the bailout. I mean, how many
bailout,
times?
Yeah,
they,
take the bailout.
How many times did they get together and change calls?
So they were doing it to start the game.
And I tell you, the one where the Patriots caught a break was the Winovich. I think late hit on Mahomes.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
And the guy came over shaking his head, and you could say, oh, they're going to pick this up. Because the other guy was like, no. So they said no penalty. They showed the replay.
Guys, it's
it was.
Awful crew.
And Romo,
awful.
They're like,
awful
yeah, crew. His body, you know, he didn't. His full body weight, he actually rolled off. So they showed the replay, and it's like, no, he
no,
didn't.
No, you had it right to begin with.
Had it right
so he went to the
with.
Side.
Why did they
up.
Change it?
So I said to go. So the beginning of the game, they did nothing but talk themselves out of calls. Like, there's a call, talk themselves out of it, fix it. It's almost like, all right, listen, they're being proactive. They're trying to get it right. It's almost as if somebody had told them. I feel like the refs, whenever there's a theme going around the NFL, whether it's balls being popped out, whether it's goal line, whether it's conferring, overruling calls, the refs get together and say, listen, we need to stop doing that. And then they overreact the other way. And then the very next week, some poor team gets screwed because they just don't call it like they see it.
Yeah, but this is a no-brainer. I think this one is – the NFL is going to get –
they were lost.
These guys are going to take a lot of heat from the NFL because I'm just using their explanation. So Patrick Holt is the down judge. He's blocked out by the defenders. He admits that he was blocked out.
He was behind.
Right.
I can see that.
Right. So the other guy, Jonah Monroe, who was on the goal line looking back toward the field of play, had him out at the 3-yard line. But the other guy was blocked out. His job, Monroe's job, is to tell me when he goes over the goal line, not when he goes out of bounds on the sideline.
But he's still watching the play develop.
It's okay. But if you
Which is fine.
But if the other guy is blocked out, it's very simple. The two of them talked there for a while. What you do is you simply say, I was blocked out. Your job is to watch the goal line, not the sideline.
No, but see, listen, it's not like he just looks at the pylon and waits for somebody
that.
To pass him.
I get that, Christian.
My point is, if the other guy is blocked out, the goal line judge is now responsible for all the information.
Yes, but there's no information because one guy didn't see it. So what you do is you call it a touchdown, then you go to the replay.
Yeah, that's what Mike
it's
asked
an automatic
him.
He, review.
But Mike asked him that, and he said, no, we talked about it. We're good.
There was confusion
you
as to
it.
What happened.
It
they
sucked.
Admitted there
you
was
know what
confusion.
Would have made it all go away? Jacoby Myers caught the ball two plays later.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wide open in the end zone, falling to the ground. Yep. It's right there. It's an easy touchdown. Myers catches that pass. We're not talking about the Gilmore fumble that happened earlier to start that drive. We're not talking about the N'Keal Harry blown call. We're not talking about replays, nothing. Jacoby Myers, catch the football.
Listen, there's nothing new that comes out of that game when it comes to officials. The officials have sucked all year long. They're using a lot of newer officials, and they're really struggling. Okay, so we get that. The bigger problem for the New England Patriots is the offense was very similar to last week's, the week before, the week before, the week before.
The offense cannot line up and go down the field.
Nope.
It's trick plays.
Right.
And this is just kind of where it's at right now. The running game, Sony Michel. I mean, good God, the first three or four carries, the little swing pass that he caught, he was so focused on just catching the pass, he was so excited that he forgot about running with the football and let some linebacker just knock him right there as he's catching the ball, couldn't break a tackle, nothing. So he is what he is. It's just what his offense is.
No, and I think part of it is the offensive line. There's no, but I'm not taking him off the hook because I don't think he can create his own space out there. And so he needs the offensive line, but they don't have anybody that can really do it. It's a major problem. Abby is in New Hampshire. Hi, Abby. Hello, Abby. A.B. Abby.
Amazing.
Hello.
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 I'm here for an explanation.
Some technical issues down here. Anyways, all the TVs are out.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe
it's like
the
there's a big, there, you know, there's got to be a storm outside. We would have no clue. It's like we're, it's like we're bunkered down. We'd have no clue what's going on. There'd be a hurricane outside.
Let's go to Rockland. Here's Lou. Lou.
Oh, hello, Lou.
I think it's Will, but that's okay. Can you hear me?
Close enough. All we're right, good. Will. What's up, Will?
Okay. Hey, thank you. My question is, I understand that they can make mistakes and everything, but did Bill actually ask for is it pass interference and the spot, or does he even have to do that? Because they never actually remarked the ball and brought out to measure. They just left it at the same bad spot that they had.
No, they moved it.
Plays. They didn't move it.
No, they didn't move it. They kept it at the 40.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they kept it right where it was. Yeah. No, they just
it should have moved back, and they at least could have measured. I mean, I understand that they still lose the, challenge if it doesn't come up, but the ball should have been moved back and at least looked at. It can't be kept a yard ahead of time before it should have been.
I would agree with that. I mean, I don't know how you can look at that play and say, yeah, we're at the 40, and just look at the play all over again and say that's where he got it. I mean, clearly, I think they had a case. I think he might have been short of the 39.
I thought he was short.
Of the 39.
Now, you but can't tell because
they came back and still left it at the 40. That was ridiculous.
It's that yellow line, so you can't tell, but and it's not real. The yellow line's not real. But
go look at the play. They left it at the point.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Okay.
And they never measured. So, to me, I'm wondering if the guy sat there and said, oh, OTI, and that's all he looked at because Bill said OTI, figuring the whole play was under review.
No, they didn't.
No, they viewed it.
No, they didn't.
Bill talked about it this morning. They looked at both. He had the opportunity to go back and look at both.
Yeah. And I think
he thought he had them both. But
I think he
was, didn't give me the one.
He wanted to cover, you know, his ass both ways. Because if they're not going to give me the spot, right?
Ordway out of context.
Right. They're not going to give me the spot.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure that I get the pass interference call. That's what he tried to do. I really thought that he was short. It looked like he had it. Matter of fact,
I thought he was short of 39, barely.
Yeah.
But they gave him the 40. Yeah. So, I mean, whatever.
Unbelievable.
Again, Jacoby Myers, catch the ball. Just catch the ball.
All right, we'll get back to this offense because that's the biggest problem that the Patriots have to concern themselves with right now. Is how the hell are they going to score against these good teams? We'll do all of that, plus Bill Belichick joining us at the 5 o'clock hour right here on Patriots Monday and OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, this portion of the program being brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Get employee pricing. Plus, during the Ram Big Finish event at 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, visit 495ram.com. I find it interesting, and you see a lot of it on Twitter. We're not getting as much of it on the air here, because both of you guys had the same impression I had, and that is that Josh McDaniels is doing everything he possibly can to try to get something out of this crew and what they've got offensively. And but in Twitter, they're blasting him, mainly because the plays aren't working. But I'll give you one that I thought was interesting, and Tony Romo pointed it out, and it was interesting, in that they found out they could not free up Julian Edelman. They were having real difficulty. So what they did is they started spreading him wide, too wide. They went deep, and they tried to open up the middle of the field so that the safety would have to commit to one side or the other and then have some open middle of the field. Their only problem is if nobody can catch the ball
in the middle of the field for nobody. Right,
that's it.
Yeah, and you know the Josh McDaniels thing. I do give him credit in this game. I mean, you want him to be creative. He's very creative. The only complaint I would have is after seeing that N'Keal Harry play, I could honestly say in the last 4 weeks, the great individual efforts you've gotten, and I'm not, you know, Julian Edelman making catches, taking hits repeatedly. That's very impressive. But I would say the two plays that stick into my mind where you sat there and said, wow, was that N'Keal Harry run last night, catch, whatever you want to call it, to the goal line, where he broke a tackle, leaped forward, got in the end zone. They didn't give it to him, but still. And the back shoulder catch he had against Dallas at home as well. Those are two plays I don't know if anybody in this offense are capable of.
Right.
Edelman does his thing. So my criticism of Josh would be, in the last 4 weeks, I've seen two plays that have stuck out as far as talent, as far as playmakers, as far as guys you could do something with. And that's N'Keal Harry. You got to be more creative. You got to find more ways, like yesterday, to get N'Keal Harry involved in this offense.
I think the safety, the bumpers are coming off. And I think the main reason why is because Jacoby Myers was taking all his reps. Jacoby Myers, with the fact that he was just the last man standing as far as being reliable, being available over the last, 12 weeks, has taken all his reps. But what happened is Myers is not that guy anymore. He's not reliable anymore. He drops too many passes. Brady won't go to him. So now he's lost those reps, and if things are going to be equal, you rather screw up with N'Keal Harry as opposed to Jacoby Myers.
Play two plays.
N'Keal Harry is a better player. He's going to get those reps. He's going to probably have his highest percentage of plays since Sanu didn't play, and it was Myers and N'Keal Harry. But they're going to throw him the ball.
He came out of the game with a hip problem, right? He came out of the game.
Who?
N'Keal Harry. I thought he had a hip problem. He came out.
He only played two plays. I don't know. It was like three or four minutes.
I really don't think that kept his snap count down.
It might have. He played two plays.
Do you think he's going to take Jacoby Myers' reps?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. I'll put money on that one. He's lost his reps. Wait, why would you leave Jacoby Myers out there now? For what purpose would you leave him out there? Whatever goodwill that he had built up, he's lost it.
I'm not saying I would.
Drop passes.
I'm not saying I would.
So why would you not put N'Keal Harry in there?
There's a reason N'Keal Harry played two plays in the entire game, Christian.
Okay, why do you think
that
is?
Because they don't trust him.
Do you trust Myers now?
Here's the better chance. Next week, Mohamed Sanu is going to get a lot of reps.
He'll get more reps.
He'll get more reps.
But whoever the third receiver is between the two young rookies,
It's not Jakobi Meyers anymore. I guarantee you, that nice shine that was on him, all the plays that he was making,
you might be right.
Decent
but
plays.
But you can't tell me that
he's not playing anymore.
You can't tell me that Harry's going to get them because Lou's right.
I can guarantee you two really good plays. I can guarantee you
two
he's
really
taking
good
those
plays.
Well, hopefully,
one was a touchdown. The other one should have been a touchdown, and he gets two plays.
Can we
yesterday.
Get Sanu back?
Glenn,
you've been, talking about him
he's
for a while. You're absolutely right. I mean, I thought you when they acquired Mohamed Sanu. Why the hell did they get rid of Josh Gordon? Yeah, I'm just saying, like, when you brought in Sanu.
He's not doing anything in Seattle.
Whatever.
Either,
he was doing more for you
Slants.
Here.
That's
he was doing more for you here.
Yeah.
But when Sanu came here, you said, okay, you got two guys now. Now you got two. You're going to ask less from the Dorsets, the Myers, and the Harrys of the world because it's going to be Edelman and Sanu. One guy's going to get 12 targets. The other guy's going to get 9. One guy's going to get 10. The other guy's going to get 8. That passing is going to go through Edelman and Sanu. He had one game where he had 10 passes for 80 yards against Baltimore, had a touchdown, and nothing. I mean, last week, talking about it was a high ankle sprain. This week, I don't know, is he still injured? He had one target, one catch. So, you know, is it going to be Edelman and Sanu?
I don't know. But by now, I would have thought.
Or is it going to be Edelman and then the other three or four in the same category?
Well, when
Mohamed
they were
Sanu
using
should be above these other guys.
Well, in the personnel group, when they used the two wide receivers, it was him and Edelman. When they used three, he was on the sideline. So maybe it was how they approached the game. I don't know. But Sanu's got to be the solution. He may be the only solution, guys. Unless you think somebody can run the football, I don't. So therefore, Sanu might be the only guy in a short passing game with Edelman that can move the chains for you. I don't see any other answer. Lacoste, Watkins, no, there's no other answer.
Well, the fact
None.
Is that you're going to have, he's going to have a certain amount of, I think Josh is still going to have to be creative, but I don't know how many times you could sit there. I think of Cordarrelle Patterson. Why can't N'Keal Harry do the same thing? No. So can
I'm with
N'Keal
you there.
Harry can do the same thing.
Yeah. Get creative with him.
Fly sweeps, jet sweeps, nice. Missile screens.
Yep.
Listen, give him a chance. You know, throw a pass where even if he drops it, it's just incomplete. It's it's like an incomplete pass.
Give him what you saw last night. You go 5 wide. All of a sudden, before the snap, you bring it behind Brady.
Yep.
Give him the ball.
Here's what's going to happen. The next 3 weeks, they need to start prepping, one, N'Keal Harry, and show as many different obvious looks with N'Keal Harry so teams can focus on that. And then he's going to, you know, save the complimentary plays for later in the playoffs.
We'll see. I just think they have no trust in him. Two great plays.
Okay, but do they have trust now? Yes or no answer?
And Myers, no. Probably no.
So who would you use?
Sanu. And that's the guy they've got to go to.
Sanu's a given.
I get it.
He's a given, though, Glenn.
Okay.
Like, we're not talking about the second wide receiver.
I don't think
we're talking about the third wide receiver.
I would say, how many plays do you think Harry is out there? He had two yesterday, right? How many plays do you think he's out there on the field for this game?
Over 20.
That might be a stretch. That might be a stretch. Mm. Over 20
you want
might
action?
Be a stretch.
Come get it.
Okay,
come get it.
It,
big boy.
Ooh.
Ooh. Hey. Tony's in Bridgewater. Tony. Hey.
Tony. Glenn, I got to tell you something. Listen to Christian and Lou, okay? I never see a guy with this long song. Your new name is Mo, because it's Mush Ordway. Every single thing you say is wrong, okay? Every single thing.
Like what?
And you pick
what today?
The Patriots this week. I swear to God.
I did.
I can make a fortune going to the opposite of what you say.
I did. I did pick the Patriots this week. So what am I wrong about today?
You can use Harry for reverses. You could use him in like 10 different ways. And he's good.
Why aren't they? Well, hold on, Tony. Tony, then why aren't they using him?
Because they're not being creative enough. That's their problem.
This is what's going to happen coming up here. They're going to rest in the which they should against Cincinnati. Let that high ankle sprain heal. They're going to need him against Cincinnati.
Need who?
They're going to sprinkle.
Need
Sanu?
Who?
Sanu.
They need Sanu. What are you talking about?
Oh, they got to get him involved too, Tony.
They got to get Sanu involved. He's healthy. They got to get him involved.
He's not healthy, Glenn. He's not healthy.
Oh, my God.
And you could.
Did he play the game yesterday? He's healthy. He played the game.
Let him have 2 weeks off.
Tony, there's no giving anybody. He's got to get involved. He's not involved in what they're doing offensively. You're giving him time off. That's the last thing he needs right now.
You know what I want?
I'm wrong. You're wrong right now. This is dumb. This is dumb.
There's nobody more wrong than you. Like
okay, you see it. Right. Oh, yeah, all right.
Well, I agree with
that. One more thing. The Patriots fans, we're not used to 50 seconds on the clock and just letting it run away. You've seen the Super Bowl 2001. They had a minute left. They marched down the field. That's what the people were booing at. They weren't booing Patriots off the field. It's like you have time to do something. You're down 17 points. What's wrong with a Hail? You see Denver 2 weeks ago?
Oh,
they threw a Hail Mary with like 5 seconds left. They got a pass interference, kicked, and they won the game. Like, you could do, you know, something
yeah,
like
you know,
that.
I gotta, let's throw just, Hail Mary.
Yeah, but Tony, you know, I mean, if you go back to the end of that first half, you know, they were trying. You know, first down, 5 yard pass to Edelman. Then Brady got sacked. You know, and then you're sitting there, and it's, you know, time is running out.
So no, he threw the ball to White on the next play.
They had 50-something seconds left. It seems like they were just content to go in there.
I think when Brady got sacked, you know, and the clock ran, they were just sort of like, all right, we'll try to get a completion downfield, maybe call that timeout for a quick field goal. But it just nothing was there. I think that Brady sack in that possession sort of changed that mindset.
Yeah, but they threw the ball in the very next play.
Oh, I know they threw it. I'm not saying they kneeled on it.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about, though.
But it was like a little short dump pass.
He does not think that they were yards. He does not believe that the fans were booing based on the first half performance by the offense.
Yeah, but that last play, that last drive of just the way it played out, yeah, it was right in front of your face.
Okay, but they started at, what, the 26th? I'm not sure.
They started at New England's 41. They were at midfield.
Oh, no, they started at the 26th, then they got an unnecessary roughness call on Kansas City. That took it to the 41, I believe.
The whole face mask, hands on the face mask?
Yes. You're right.
Okay.
But they had it at the 41 with 54 to go, then he basically got sacked.
Right. Mary's in a car. Hello, Mary.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Mary.
I think the league should be taking more responsibility to get these calls right. I don't think it should come down to a coach having a challenge. When it comes to a scoring play or a turnover, that should come from upstairs every time. If Harry had stepped out of bounds and they called it a touchdown on the field, it would have been reviewed and brought back without KC having the right to challenge it or not.
But you can't do that. And I'll tell you why.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
We just said that's what you should have done. You should have called it a touchdown.
Yes, he should have called it a touchdown. Somebody should have upstairs called it.
They do that in college football?
They do.
This college football game I hear so much about?
They do, right? They do that.
Christian, if that play had happened in college football, would they have reviewed it?
Hold on, which one?
N'Keal Harry.
They call from upstairs.
Oh, geez, I don't cover college football anymore. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I mean, do you remember the rules?
I don't remember the rules.
Talk about a guy who totally unplugged after he was done.
I believe they do.
I believe that they do. Maybe somebody who knows more about college football than I do can check in.
But I only need one foot for a completion.
But here's what I've heard people. I've heard people say this.
Go ahead.
That what you should do is you should have somebody up there, and every time there's an injustice, every time they're wrong, they should call down. Do you know how long those games would be if they did that? You can't do that.
No, it wouldn't. I don't know if it would be.
No, but isn't it the last 5 minutes of like the half or at least a game that you can do that?
Sure.
He has no idea. Lou knows more about college football.
You want to know about Northeast Louisiana State?
Nope. No, I know.
We're good.
We're good.
No.
Old Dominion? No.
The Bahu Busters? Is that
Nickel
what they're called?
State? You don't want to know about them?
All right, 617-779-7937. An hour from now, Bill Belichick will join us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, this is what is going on with this Patriots offense. I have talked for months that there's a lack of trust between quarterback and receiver. I just showed you those three drops by Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers is absolutely wide open on fourth down right here. Does the 42-year quarterback not know who to throw the football to anymore? Or maybe, just maybe, the 42-year-old quarterback is so tired of being disappointed by those around him that he's willing to throw to the wrong person because he knows that if I throw it to the right guy, it's going to be a drop.
Okay.
Dan Orlovsky this morning on ESPN, breaking it all down, going to the board and the video, and he's right.
Yeah, he was breaking down drops. Right. Obviously, with Jacoby Myers, he looked at that final play, this play that they're showing now, about the incompletion of Edelman on 4th and 3, where Myers was actually open initially at the first down marker.
Shallow crossing route.
But did Brady, at his point, does Brady not see that? Or is he sitting there saying, I see it, but...
It was a...
He showed, he looked right at him.
It was predetermined.
He looked right at him.
Where he was going.
I've seen a lot, and he drops it.
Yeah, I don't think he was... he had any intentions of going anywhere else other than Edelman, regardless.
He looked right at Myers, but Christian's probably right. He looked right at Myers, figuring maybe the guy is going to shade over. The safety's on the backside. Maybe he's going to shade over, and then he gets a better shot at Edelman. But you didn't think it was a great route by Edelman.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think he was. I don't think the throw was great. I think, give the defense credit. He made a good play. The throw was kind of late. The defender had plenty of time to recover and go over the top of Edelman and knock the ball down. And I would also say, just to add this, so this is a. I think Edelman is just hurt beyond belief. I think there's just a ton he's fighting through.
He's not moving well.
I'm surprised he even played. I felt he was going to be a healthy, like a scratch based on how bad he's hurt.
Grandpa!
But that's how desperate they are. They rather go to a banged up, injured Edelman rather than go to Sanu,
Myers.
Whoever's open. Hey, can we all? They're all in the pros.
But it's a better option.
They should all be able to catch the ball.
It's a much better option.
As Orlovsky says, wide ass open.
No, even better, Christian. Doubled. Edelman doubled every single time he's out there.
So it goes to a fact that I think he's more conditioned anyways. If Gronk was out there, he'd probably have – I don't think you could sit there and the blitz is coming, so it's not like you have an opportunity to sit there and go through all your reads. You know it's man coverage. It's obvious. They're blitzing. They're not going to drop off in the zone. It's man. I pick my winner, and I stay with them.
I would say that
– pick the wrong guy.
Any team that wants to – that comes out and plays zone against New England and doesn't blitz, especially in third down and send the house, then you're foolish. Then you're not paying attention because that's
they're
how you beat
blitz.
Them.
They're going to blitz. They were 2 for 12 on third down, and 70% of those were blitzes. Why would you not blitz?
I was surprised it was that low.
I just say, why would you not blitz? I mean, because they – and I would say it got worse the farther they got into the game because Spagnuolo's probably going to waste
it.
So, wait, I'm usually nervous blitzing Brady because that was the rumors. Well, that was the truth. You blitz Brady, you're getting screwed. Why would you do it? He's going to kill you. Well, he identifies the blitz. He just can't. He can't throw it to anybody.
He doesn't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Let me bring this up before we go back to the phone calls. Out in Cincinnati today, Zach Taylor's press conference. A reporter asked him if he would confirm that a Patriots employee was videotaping their play calls at the last game, their game in Cleveland. He said no comment, but they were aware, and then went on to talk about the league is aware as well. And so everybody went, "Oh my God, it's the Patriots! They're cheating again." Well, within 15 minutes later. Schefter comes out and basically says, no. This was an employee of the New England Patriots. He was their advanced scout. He's upstairs in an enclosed booth for the scouts, and somebody was videotaping him because
doing
they were
his job.
Doing his job. They're doing
a feature called Do Your Job.
Which, by the way, all of these teams do. They do all television and all sorts of additional media stuff. You said it at the time, Christian, because it was 15 seconds, and then, that story just went poof. You said at the time, it doesn't make a difference. It's already out there, and people are going to buy into
it's
New England
developing.
Cheating. So here we go. Our buddy Howard Eskin in Philadelphia.
What a surprise.
Is anybody surprised that the Patriots are allegedly cheating again? It's pathetic in itself, but to do it with a team like the Cincinnati Bengals is even more pathetic.
Okay, so here's
the
thing. Here's the thing. So I read that. If I don't know who Howard Eskin is, I sit there and go, wow. That's pretty aggressive.
But
we've talked to Howard. It's an act.
Yeah.
It's one whole big act that he just keeps going back to the same old joke over and over and over again. So Ryan, grab this. I don't know, because we asked Ryan Eskin about
Howard Eskin.
We asked him. Was it last year at the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was Spygate about, and what were the Patriots guilty of doing?
What is Spygate? What exactly were the Patriots accused of?
Taping at practices.
Never happened. Never happened. $1,000 for your charity or my charity.
It's so
wrong.
Predictable.
No, it is
so unbelievably
to that
predictable.
Point, so you get
this guy, really
Neil Coulong, from USA Today.
Yep.
He's now, you know, he tweets out on top of that. He says, from 2015, here's a detailed report regarding Spygate. It's almost identical to the allegations being made now. Even worse, like Florio. This headline he has on Pro Football Talk. Bengals say NFL is investigating Patriots over incident Sunday's game. Now, he talks about the incident. And at the end, he says, for their part, the Patriots have put out word to multiple reporters that the videographer they sent to this game was simply shooting one of their regular, quote, do your job documentaries. But then he does, he finishes it off, though, just to kind of keep it out there, whether the Patriots would risk serious sanctions by doing something similar. He says, but this is a situation that will undoubtedly raise eyebrows around the NFL all week.
Of course.
Why?
So I expected to see this, and then at the end of it, you know, in red ink, update, you know, and just talk about how this was actually just filming of a documentary. No, instead he leaves it out there as well. Like, people will start raising eyebrows around, oh, here they go again.
Well, there's always going to be
this. Because they're stupid. Because they're looking for something. Let me give you an example of it and the treatment of the Patriots to somebody else. So last week, was it last week that Brady had the hissy fit in the sidelines? Or was it the week before? Last week. Okay. So everybody made a big, huge deal about Tom Brady screaming until we finally heard the audio matched up with the video, and it was much calmer than anybody had thought. Even though the lip readers were out saying, oh my God, he is just tearing in to his receivers and whatever. But was it not a big, huge deal? He's not a leader. This is not what you do. Everybody made a big deal about it. And we all sat here and said, well, maybe that's what you have to do to wake these guys up. We had a situation yesterday after the Kelce fumble. Did anybody watch Patrick Mahomes on the sideline? He went ballistic. Matter of fact, he was more emotional than what we saw with Tom Brady.
Yeah, because he brought everybody in for the little hands up. Here we go. Okay. So it was like a team moment.
Oh, is that what it was?
I did look at it differently.
Oh, stop it.
I did.
He was like with the little Kermit the Frog voice is sitting there screaming.
It's the Muppet Show with our special guest Garmus.
Yeah, but you don't take the end of that? We start everybody bringing in? And everybody brought it in? You don't think that's different?
No,
I do.
I don't. I right, don't. Because okay. Brady at
you
the end.
Because it's your guy.
No, what did Brady do at the end of the
thumbs
sideline?
Up.
Thank you, Luke.
Yeah.
Same thing.
They didn't show that, though.
Well, who didn't
TV
show that?
At first. They didn't show the thumbs up. I gotcha.
Yeah, but when we finally saw the video, we saw it earlier, later in the week with the audio, and we all said, this is a joke. This is totally different. I'm telling you that nothing was mentioned last night or this morning about Mahomes' outburst.
You know,
and I loved
you know,
by the way, because I think he knew his team was losing all of the momentum. He was doing it as a leader. That, to me, is a leader.
You know, just real quick, because this story, which is bogus, but it has legs, and they all come out of their shells, they all come out of their holes, and they start chirping about the Patriots and their history. This was the Kansas City Chiefs almost have to forfeit the game. They almost have to forfeit the game because their equipment manager forgot to take their equipment bags off the plane.
At Logan.
No, it was in Providence.
Oh, was it in Providence?
It was in Providence. Okay. So the plane goes back to Newark, New Jersey. They have to take the bags, find a way to get the bags back. A bunch of the Chiefs players.
Oh, Bill.
A bunch of the Chiefs players that didn't have their helmets and their shoulder pads.
35 of them.
Can you... So when this happened, I was like, oh, okay, the Patriots are going to get blamed
for this.
Oh, they're going to blame for
this. They did.
They had nothing to do with
it. No, that's in social media. That's what people were saying.
Oh, no, it was funny.
You got Bill Belichick lighting the air out of their tires.
Who paid the baggage handler?
I don't even know how that happens. How does that happen?
It happens because the equipment manager wasn't paying attention. You never
know.
First of all,
how does that happen? You forget that there's a trunk on the plane? You let the plane go to Newark, New Jersey? And then you go, oh, crap, because there's high school football.
Can I ask you a question?
Since there's high school football game, they can't bring it in?
What? Because, like, you know, I don't know, it's different maybe in baseball, but all the equipment goes on the plane.
Yes.
They have a separate plane for equipment?
No. They have a separate truck, and the truck, all the luggage goes on. It's really nothing. Everybody brings it on board, but it goes underneath. And then
the plane your team is flying?
Yes.
They don't put it on the wrong plane.
No, it went on the right plane.
The plane didn't stay here. So the plane dropped off the players and was supposed to drop off the equipment and then fly back to Newark because they came in on Saturday.
So some dude in Boston was like, yeah, shh, don't take that back.
Yeah, here's 100. Let it all off the plane. No, but the Chiefs equipment managers get inside the belly of the plane and take it off.
Yeah, that's
good. It's not like some random JetBlue flight where, you know, the baggage handlers are handling it. Mm-hmm. They do it.
Sounds like somebody had a dinner engagement in Providence and said, hey, do
Well,
me
you
a
know,
favor.
They were blaming on the fact that there was this high school football game where they couldn't go directly to the stadium because the locker rooms were being used with the MIAA championship.
That's accurate.
Which it was.
Yep.
So they go, okay, let's go get a quick bite.
We'll come back.
That's what they.
The plane's
gone. That's what they must have done.
Stupid! Isn't that dumb?
Shame on them. But does anybody really believe? First of all, I thought when I heard it, and it was early in the morning, right? And when you heard it, you said, they're going to get it here. I mean, they're going to find a way. You hire a private
plane. They had a
police
escort.
There's too much. You're going to get it.
But you didn't get here until like 2 o'clock?
I think later, maybe later than that.
It was 2:45.
I was going to say closer to 3 o'clock, 2:45. But does anybody really believe that they weren't going to wait for it and they were going to forfeit the game? Stop it.
So if the luggage doesn't get here till 6 o'clock, you're going to sit there at the network television? They do have 60 minutes. They have all these other shows.
What are they going to do? They don't pass.
What are you going to do? Well, they forfeit.
Nobody's got a helmet.
They're waiting.
They're going to forfeit.
They're not forfeiting the game.
What are you
going
to do? 60 minutes is going to start when 60 minutes is going to start.
Listen, we've seen lights go out at stadiums. So whatever. I mean, you just wait.
That's
it
the
out.
Bowl.
You
that's
it.
The Super Bowl.
This was a Super
it's
Bowl.
A little different.
No, you would have waited.
You don't. When have we had a forfeiture of a game?
I can't remember the team didn't show up with their own pads.
Hang with
you. Come to a football game with no pads.
Trust me, they would.
I think those are kind of important.
Does anybody not think they would have waited until 5 o'clock if they had to?
They would have went to Dick's.
They would have waited until 5 o'clock.
You guys got any pads?
Can we borrow some of those high school? They would BC. They would have been wearing BC uniforms.
Rick is in Connecticut. Hey, Rick.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I listen to you guys all the time.
What's
Thank
up?
You. So I have a question/statement. I think a lot's been made of the lack of receiving weapons the Patriots have, and obviously the refs were awful against the Chiefs last night. But should we be putting more blame on Josh McDaniels for not creating a running game that can take advantage of the Chiefs? Because I watched Kerryon Johnson run all over the Chiefs. I watched Marlon Mack run all over the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And nothing against those guys. They're good, but none of those guys are Dalvin Cook. So why can't they scheme up a game plan to just stuff it right down the Chiefs' throat?
Because they don't think they have the personnel
to
do it.
Your running back also isn't those guys.
That's right. So they don't have the personnel to do it. And first of all, you need the offensive line. You saw it with Le'Veon Bell with the Jets. Le'Veon Bell was unstoppable. You know, he had that little stop and go action. Le'Veon Bell is a top five running back, and without having an offensive line with the Jets, he couldn't do squat.
Sony Michel is an average running back at best.
Right.
And you're going to give him that offensive line, he's going to look like he looked.
Correct.
Okay.
That's what he looks like.
Okay, then I'll let
okay.
you compare.
So in last year, you looked at him, and he was a big contributor in the postseason. But the offensive line was totally different. You had a fullback. You had Gronk.
Two tight ends.
Right. Totally different. And that's, unfortunately, what you need if you're going to get production out of Sony Michel.
And they don't have it. The Josh McDaniels blame, I thought that was a very creative game. That's the only way they moved the football, was being creative. The only blame I would give him is after what I've been seeing from N'Keal Harry. And we said but last week when they benched him after, you know, the interception, taking the good with the bad. In the last 4 weeks, I've seen two individual efforts, and they've both been N'Keal Harry. The back shoulder catch against Dallas and that one last night. Should have been a touchdown. It wasn't, so be it. I don't think you got anybody. You know, I haven't seen anything from Dorsett, nothing from Sanu. You know, Edelman is Edelman. But I'm talking about individual plays, individual efforts, talent, skill. N'Keal Harry has shown that in the last 4 weeks on two different occasions. I blame him for not getting more creative and simplifying something to get him more involved in the
tiny
game.
Tiny sliver of the blame pie and a very little.
Yeah, no, but that's
very
it.
Very little because he's coming up with stuff right now. They don't have the personnel. We can say it about Dante Scarnecchia. Why is this offensive line suck so bad at times? And they were really shaky yesterday. Well, Dante is the genius, right? And does anybody think he suddenly became stupid overnight? No, he's still a genius, but if you don't have the talent, the personnel, you can't do it. You can't make chicken salad sometimes.
It's the Newhouse effect.
Right? You can't do it.
Every time I see him, I'm like, Newman. But I want to say Newhouse.
Newhouse.
Newman.
Newhouse. We got another hour to go. We'll go 30 minutes commercial free. Top of that, we got Bill Belichick. Should be interesting coming up here in the final hour.
This is Patriots. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.